This is a CattleCast Extra.
This is a CattleCast Extra. I'm Mark Bazita. We're at Wharton Center in East Lansing and joined by Karen Mason, who plays Madam Jeery, and Bronson Norris Murphy, who plays Phantom in Andrew Lloyd Webber's Love Never Dies, the epic sequel to Phantom of the Opera, running now through Sunday, October 14th. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So tell us about the first time you saw the original Phantom of the Opera.
Well, I actually was there within the first year, 30 years ago. He's way too young. And I loved the show, although I have to admit that I couldn't afford at that time to actually buy a ticket to sit in the orchestra. So I had a standing room in the back and never actually saw the chandelier.
No way.
So that was not necessarily a great vantage point for what was considered, you know, the most thrilling part of the show. But I loved it. It was beautiful, and it was remarkable music, very, you know, just very lush and luxurious and gorgeous music. Mm-hmm. So to be able to do this show is quite a lovely treat.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was introduced to the music on double cassette in the sixth grade and then was fortunate fortunate to see the Road Company in Nashville, Tennessee, near my home in the early 2000s, I guess that was. That was my first kind of I grew up in Kentucky. I wasn't anywhere near New York, so that was my first experience with high-caliber theater. It was The Phantom of the Opera.
Okay. What is the storyline of Love Never Dies? Does it begin right where Phantom left off?
It's all about Madame Jeery.
It is called Madame Jeery Returns. That's the subtitle of the show.
It should be. No, please, Bronson, you tell it so much more beautifully.
Well, thank you. It does not start right after Phantom of the Opera. It starts 10 years later, which we will tell you in the first three words of the show. It has been 10 long years since the events of the Paris Opera House. The Phantom, with the aid of Madame Jeery and Meg Jeery, they have fled Paris to move to Coney Island, where the Phantom, again with the help of Madame Jeery, has created this fantastical world, a sideshow of sorts, a vaudeville house, if you will, and Meg Jeery is starring in the music reviews. It is called Phantasma. It's wonderful. The three of them get word that Christine Daae is coming from Paris to New York to open the Hammerstein Opera House. And, of course, it's been 10 years since any of them have seen her. And it means different things to both Madame Jeery and the Phantom.
Right.
But the story follows through the Phantom trying to intercept her premiere of the Oscar Hammerstein
Yeah, she's coming back as a star.
As a star, yes, she has become this star. And I think the Phantom just needs her, needs to hear her sing his music again. So he tries to intercept that and make it about himself, as he tends to do.
Right, yeah, and Madame Jeery just wants her nowhere near. So it's both of these reactions to the same event.
Well, what was it like switching from about nine other characters you've played over the years, Bronson, in the original Phantom, to playing the Phantom?
Well, it was a real treat. Yes, I was a swing on the Broadway company covering Raoul and nine other ensemble roles, and that was a wonderful time in my life. And then I was actually doing Phantom of the Opera on Broadway in the evenings while we were rehearsing Love Never Dies in New York during the daytime. And it was kind of remarkable. I would hide under stairwell. I felt like the Phantom. I was hiding under stairwells at the Majestic Theater, learning my lines for Love Never Dies, and then popping on stage and playing who knows what on any given night. But it's a thrill. Every actor who gets a new part, you know, it's just something fresh, something exciting, something fun to dive into. And it's as hard as it is, it's a great joy every single night to do it. And it was to rehearse it as
but
well.
Boy, I don't know how your head didn't explode. Because you, seriously, we work from 10 to 6.
Yeah.
And then you have a tiny little window for dinner And then at 8, you're on, or 7:30, depending upon the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a lot. You must have been very good at segmenting.
You had to, yeah. I would use the dinner break to learn my lines, and then I would put that show away and focus on Phantom until I got home. And then if I needed to do more review, then I would.
Yeah. Now, Karen, throughout your Broadway career and music career, you've shared concert stages with Chita Rivera and Rosemary Clooney, Liza Minnelli. Tell us about one of those experiences.
Well, probably, you know, these are all in what I like to call cavalcades. They're usually the galas for some event, you know, some organization. The one that was really my favorite was the San Francisco Opera Company. And that was the one where they were honoring, I can't remember his name. huge opera, very big, great tenor.
Luciano?
Thank you. Yes, Pavarotti. And so they were honoring him, and they had a white chocolate. It looked like Pavarotti made out of white chocolate in the center of the stage. But that was with Rosemary Clooney and Pavarotti and a few other people. And we all got to go out there and sing one song, you know. And those are exciting times. Probably the best thing about all those is that you're backstage with all these people who you have idolized all these years. You get to sit and just blab with, you know, and you're kind of equals, but not, because these are people you have, these are legends that you're getting a chance to just touch and be close to. And I did a Candor and Ebb after And the World Goes Round. Suddenly, you know, all of us were doing a lot of Candor and Ebb events. And Chita Rivera, I think she is by far the consummate gypsy, the consummate actor. She is a star, but she is gracious and open and wonderful, and then gets out on that stage and really, she just is amazing. She makes everybody in that hall feel like you're a friend. And, you know, I did a show at Birdland before we started rehearsals for this. It was presenting my new CD at that time, mm-hmm. called It's About Time, and I had done an event honoring her, and I sang from Kiss of the Spider Woman. Mm-hmm. And it's a bear of a song, so I was so proud that I got through without screwing it up. And so I invited her to the Birdland concert, and she came with Tommy Tune. It was so fantastic. I'm still a big old fan at heart. I gush.
Oh, that's
You know, it's hard to carry on a conversation when you've got a huge smile on your face.
Right.
But they're lovely. You know, she's a lovely, lovely woman.
Well, Andrew Lloyd Webber said that he knew about 5 minutes into seeing this first run-through that he and the production team had achieved something special mm-hmm. with Love Never Dies. What makes it so special?
Well, I think there's, aside from the beauty of the story and the beauty of the score, and the orchestrations, and visually, it's a remarkable show. It must be just all of the components. You know, sometimes
it
happens.
It's that theater magic when it all lines up.
Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. And it has nothing to do with always having, you know, the most popular people in certain, you know, like having the best designer, having the, mm-hmm. what is considered the best, you know, in all of those departments. But what they did do was get the best actors for these roles. They did get the best designer for this show and the best orchestrators for this show. And Simon Phillips, who was our director, is just made us all feel as if we were very special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think exactly what you just said is absolutely true. It's like they picked the right story for these people to tell, mm-hmm. and these creative minds brought it to life. And somehow they tapped into Andrew's brain and found what he was dreaming of. And when you can do that, if the composer likes it, you know, it's two thumbs up. And I think this team that has put together the U.S. tour did that for him. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's if it's anywhere near the success of the original Phantom of the Opera, it's going to be a great show, and I know it's already done well around the country, and we'll hope it continues here in East Lansing over the next few nights, too. So, Love Never Dies is playing now through Sunday, October 14th. Tickets are available at wartoncenter.com or at 1-800-WHARTON. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you very much.